Acts chapter 11, and we'll begin reading it, verse number 19. We'll read down through verse number 26. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the church, unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, that we are gathered here together in your church. Lord, we know the church is made up of born-again believers, people that are saved through faith in Jesus Christ and baptized. But Lord, we also know that the purpose of the church is to gather together. Lord, not to be distant and separated one from another, but that it be gathered together around the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to fellowship, to strengthen, to encourage, to edify, to pray for, to love one another, to help one another. And Lord, we pray this morning as we give you thanks for bringing us back together, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd edify us this morning through your word and encourage us and teach us and help us and challenge us, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The book of Acts is the history of the church as it began. And it hasn't ended because we are part of the history of the church. Amen. It's still going on. But you read from the beginning of the book of Acts and you begin to read the history of the church, and you come over to chapter 9, and a man by the name of Saul gets saved on the road to Damascus. And here in chapter 11, as we go through, the word of God has been preached to as a result of the persecution of Stephen. They've gone forth and they're preaching the word of God, and folks are getting saved. And they send Barnabas, and he goes and sees what's happening, and he encourages them, and then he goes to seek for Saul. He brings Saul back. And, you know, from Acts chapter 11 on through the rest of the book of Acts, the emphasis of the record of the history of the church really centers upon how God would use one man by the name of Paul. In fact, much of the New Testament focuses on a man by the name of Paul. You stop and think about it. In the book of Acts, we see his ministry. And there's no doubt that this man was powerfully used of God. I mean, what a ministry Paul had as he was a vessel that God could use. And we won't take time to go into all the details and all the testimony of his ministry, but not only do we see as we read the scriptures the ministry of how God used Paul, but we could also look at the messages that Paul wrote, the manuscript, if you will. For the majority of the New Testament, the majority of the teachings of Christ and of God and the doctrines and all our teaching, all our instruction, the majority of it comes through the pen of a man that God would use by the Holy Spirit, Paul. You stop and think about it. From Romans all the way down through, God would use a man named Paul to pen the scriptures. What a precious testimony that is, huh? Man, this guy had a powerful ministry.
But what a precious testimony that God would use him to pen the scriptures. Not translate them. I mean, it's amazing to me when God uses someone to translate the scriptures. I don't fathom that. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the magnitude of that privilege that God would use people to translate the scriptures. That's above my pay grade. I have hard enough time with English. But you know what we see also as we read through the scriptures? We see his life. For as God used Paul, we can read all about his ministry. We can read all about the messages and manuscripts that Paul wrote. But as you read through it, God also gives us a testimony of his life. Testimony of his life. It's exciting to read about the life of Paul. It's exciting. It's encouraging. It's challenging to read the ministry and the messages and see the manner of life of which Paul lived. He said to Timothy, he says, you know my manner of life. You know my doctrine, my faith. He says, you've also known my manner of life. By the way, Paul did say this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Paul was not perfect. He says, I teach my ways which are in Christ. But we see his manner of life. And you know, when you think of the Apostle Paul, every one of us would be quick to say, boy, I'll never be used to the degree of which Paul is used. I mean, we'd all acknowledge that. I don't ever expect to be recognized as an Apostle Paul. Because God used him in a very powerful way. But you know, this morning we're not going to look at the life of Paul. Because as you study the life of Paul, and as you read Acts chapter 11, before God begins to use Paul in just a marvelous way, God uses two other people to impact the life of Paul. And while you and I will be quick to say, well, I'll never be a Paul, God doesn't want us all to be Pauls. He wants us to be people that he can use to impact the life of others so that he can use others to do what he would want to do with their lives for his cause and for his glory. You know, as I was studying this and reading this, and this morning we're going to look at the life of Barnabas. Because in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas goes to seek Paul, and then the attention shifts to the ministry and the life of Paul. But boy, I tell you what, there is a message for every one of us in the example and the life of Barnabas. We might not be a Paul, but I tell you what, we can all be a Barnabas. We might never reach the heights of Paul, but we can be a Barnabas and reach the heights that God wants us to reach to be used of him. What's interesting is there were two men. Now, we're going to look at one this morning, Barnabas. But when you read the life of Paul, and this is what really caught my attention. When you read the life of Paul, there were two men that God used to impact his life. One leading up to his salvation experience, and one from his salvation experience beyond. And God wants to use you and me to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only by our words, but by our life. By our life, by the testimony of our life. And God wants to use us to encourage and to disciple people and to help people in their walk with the Lord. That's why we gather together as a church. That's why we should love one another, fellowship one with another. And one of those men was a man by the name of Stephen. We've all read of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 7. There was a man named Stephen, and God used him in a powerful way to bring conviction to the life of Saul that would lead up to Saul turning to the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And then after Saul gets saved, God would use a man by the name of Barnabas to impact his life.
And here's the interesting, it's just an amazing thing to me. God gives the same testimony about both of these men. God gives the same exact testimony about these men. Same thing. When I read that, I said, boy, that's something. That must be something important. Well, of course it's important because God said it. But the same testimony. Two things God said about these two men. And God would use these men to impact the man that God would use in a great way, Paul. So what were those two things? Well, we're going to look at them this morning in the context of the life of Barnabas as we look at his life. But two things. Verse number 24. And I just want to point these out to begin with and encourage you and challenge you about this. Look what it says. For he was a good man. And then it says he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. If you were to go back to Acts chapter 6, when they were having just a need in the church, and they said, we need to choose out some men, some deacons that can help out with this. And they said, choose out a man that's honest, good report, and full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. And you know what God said? God said, I'll give you a man. Oh, he'll be a good man. He'll be honest, but two things. He'll be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Thought about that. We'll look at that in more depth in a minute, but full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. And this morning I want to look at the life of Barnabas in Acts chapter 11 because there's so much here. There's just so much here that, boy, we just need to just meditate on and prayerfully say, Lord, make me a blessing. Use me, Lord. Use me. Well, I believe there's three things here that, well, 3 points I got. But we'll see some things here in the life of Barnabas that I believe can teach us how we can be used to impact the life of someone else in a great way. Because if we allow God to use us, only God knows the extent of which he can use us to impact the life of someone else and then use them for his glory. And what is our purpose anyways? Simply for God to get the glory as he works in the lives of others, right? Boy, if we get caught up and all caught up about it's me, no, we're missing it. You know, you stop and think about the life of Barnabas. Barnabas, after this, he goes into obscurity. All of a sudden, the attention's on Paul. In fact, he didn't really have any notoriety before this. He wasn't an apostle. And in Acts chapter 6, he wasn't chosen to be a deacon. He's just good old Barnabas. Living for the Lord and serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And yet God used him in a powerful way in the life of Paul. And look how God used Paul. You might say, well, I'm a nobody. Yeah, it's a good thing to be a nobody. There's too many people that want to be a somebody. And God wants to use nobodies. People who it's not about them, it's about God, it's about Christ. That's who God uses. That's who God wants to use. That's who God does use. You might be just, I don't want to, forgive me, I don't want to say that. You might be just. No, you might be a mom that stays at home. Hey, guess what? God wants to use you greatly to impact your kids, your children. I'm sorry, you don't have goats, you have children. Your children, right? You might say, well, all I do is work a job. No. You can do more than that. You can let God use you to impact the life of someone else.
and God will use it. God will use you. So let's look this morning. Let's look. Let's look at verse. We'll start at verse 22. The first point is when the tidings came to the church. All right, I had to do this homiletically. All right, so we'll do T's today. All right, tidings, testimony, and teaching. Okay, there you got the points. Now I can preach. All right, tidings, testimony, and teachings, something like that. All right, so first of all, look at verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, said he should go as far as Antioch. Think about this. This is important, folks. That verse right there is just so important. What tidings came? Well, look back at verse number 19 down through verse number 21. All right? They which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. All right, so after Stephen was killed, persecution comes upon the church, and the church goes in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and they begin to preach the word of God. They come as far as Antioch, and they've been preaching to the Jewish people, and now they're starting to reach into the Gentile community, the Grecians, and the gospel is going forth. But the important thing is in verse number 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. All right, just stop and think about this from the perspective of the church at Jerusalem, from what is going on. You're going forth and preaching, and all of a sudden, a great number of people believed. What are you going to do? You got a good problem. You got a problem, but it's a good problem, right? A lot of times we look at problems and this is a good problem. A good problem. You know what a good problem would be? Is all of a sudden another 100 people showed up and said, "Hey, I want to come into Lakes Palm Baptist Church." And we said, "Oh no, we got a good problem. What we do? I'll tell you what we do. I got this one figured all immediately. All of you guys go downstairs, and the newcomers get to sit upstairs." Amen. All right. Some problems are easy to fix, right? Or we just go outside. We just get a stick of dynamite, we blow this building up, we build a new auditorium. No, but anyways, there's good problems. This was a good problem. Folks are getting saved. But they said, "What do we do now?" Here's the thing. It says, they sent forth Barnabas. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, you might just read that statement. You might not think of anything about it, but let's stop and consider it for a minute. When you got something to do at home, right, and you have a project to do at home and you need a tool, sometimes the project becomes more of a problem because you got to find the right tool, right? Come on now. Last Saturday, you know, we had the dirt bikes over the house, Kevin and I, Big Kevin, Erica's dad, we're fixing one of the dirt bikes, and he says, "You got a 10 millimeter deep socket wrench." I went right in my toolbox. I said, "Yeah, it's right here." He looks at me, he says, "Who has a 10 millimeter small deep socket wrench hanging around and knows right where it is?" I do. Now, do I know what other wrenches I have? No. If I wanted an 8 millimeter, I don't know if it's there. But I happen to find that one. Now, the problem was the ratchet I had didn't work. I had the socket, but I didn't have a good ratchet. But you know how important it is to have the right tool at your disposal for the job. You know, it's amazing because
the Lord helps me with illustration and example. I didn't shave this morning. If you're wondering why, it's a simple reason. The other day, I threw the last razor in the trash. It was dull, so I threw it in the trash. Didn't think. Didn't think one bit about Sunday. So I wake up this morning, go down, reach into the cabinet, and there's no razors. Guess what? I wasn't able to shave this morning because I didn't have a razor. Well, that's my excuse anyways. But it wasn't available. But you know what was available here in Acts chapter 11? A man by the name of Barnabas. A man by the name of Barnabas. And you know what? He was ready. He was ready. You know, the Bible says, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you know, my point in this is just, you know what? We just need to say, Lord, help me, make me to just be ready for you to use whenever and wherever. Lord, just help me to be a vessel ready that you can use. The Lord knows who he wants to use, when he wants to use us, how he wants to use. Listen, don't sweat the details. Just say, I'm going to be ready. Lord, I just want to be ready. I just want to be ready. Use me. It could be you'll be driving down the road and God will say, there's an opportunity. I need a vessel. I need a tool. I need someone to use. And are you ready? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That phrase right there, meet for the master's use, means ready and easily used. Easily used. Boy, one of the most frustrating things as a human being, not for God, I'm just speaking about us, is when we reach for a tool and for some reason we can't use it. Right? For some reason, you can't use it. You know? I mean, think of the kitchen. I mean, I don't cook much in the kitchen, but I tell you what. You ever fried eggs and you get one of those plastic spatulas things and it's burnt on the edge and it's not smooth on the edge? Right? Well, what do you say? Spatula. Right? You know what you do with that thing? You throw it away because you can't use it, right? Or you take a box cutter and you cut it and make a new edge on it. But, you know, but no matter where you are in life, you want something that you can use so that you can do the job. Well, Barnabas was ready. He was ready. But look at his response, too. I want you to notice his response. This says so much about the man. Look at verse number, go back to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 23, who when he came, his response was, you know, they turned, the church turns, and it doesn't say how it happened, but they said, we got a big problem over there in Antioch. We got a lot of people get saved. Someone's got to go over and disciple them. Someone's got to go over and help them out. And they turn and say, hey, Barnabas, what are you doing next week? Barnabas says, I'm ready to go. And he goes. That's how ready we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I am ready. Whatever you want, whatever. Look at his response. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And I'd just like to stop there for a while. Because he comes to Antioch. Great number of people have gotten saved. Not one had he led to the Lord. Not one had he led to the Lord. Others had been there before preaching the gospel. And when he comes, you know what? He's glad. He's not jealous. He's not envious. He is glad that people are getting saved. Oh, that would be the attitude of Christianity today. Instead of Well, I'm just going to, he was glad.
And look at his response.
He exhorted them. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave in the Lord. And see what he does? He just starts encouraging them. Hey, listen, by the way, verse 23, that's God's discipleship program right there. Just exhort them to cleave to the Lord. You know, basically what he did, he went into this church and he's excited. All these folks have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. They've gotten saved. And he just goes around and says, you're blessed. Just cleave to the Lord. Cling to the Lord. Stick to the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Boy, that's the best discipleship program in the world. Because if someone cleaves to the Lord, guess what? Their life is going to be okay. When we stop cleaving to the Lord, that's when things get in trouble. So number one, we see the tidings. When the tidings come, when the news comes that there's a need, Barnabas was ready and Barnabas responded. And you know, that's how we ought to be. Lord, I just want to be a vessel that you can use. I want to be a vessel that you, Lord, just use me. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what. Lord, I just want to be ready. I want to be fit, meet, prepared unto every good work. Lord, use me. Just use me. And God will. But you know, there's something else here. Not only the testimony, or not only the tidings, but then God gives a testimony of his life. God gives a testimony to the character, the spiritual character of Barnabas in verse number 24. You know, we read the lives of men like Barnabas, Stephen, Paul. Here's a challenging thought for you. What if God wrote down a testimony about your life? What would he say? I'd say, don't. Let's just keep it between you and me, Lord. Right? I mean, a lot of ways, because we're flesh, we're weak. And Barnabas wasn't perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. Barnabas wasn't perfect. Later on, he would have a sharp dissension with Paul, and they would go their separate ways in ministry. So the Lord shows that none of these men were perfect. But the testimony that God gives, he says he was a good man, a good man. That word good means beneficial, profitable. He was not only a man that God could use, but he was a man that God did use. He was profitable, profitable. Don't you want to be profitable in the eyes and the work of the Lord? Boy, I tell you what, I not only want to be ready, I not only want to be a vessel, we should want to be vessels that God can use, but I just want God to be able to use me in a profitable way. And he was. Look, people kept getting saved. Much people was added unto the Lord. But the two things I really want to focus on there was, he was a man that was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Those two phrases have really just caught my attention by the Spirit of God. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith. We know we're supposed to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the Gospels, when he spoke about faith, he said to some that you don't have any faith. Well, that's where it needs to start. For by grace he's saved through faith. Faith. But then he would go on and he'd talk to his disciples, whether it was disciples or other people, and he said to his disciples, you have little faith. He said to other people, they had great faith. But here he said, full of faith. Full of faith. Think of that. If you're full of something, that means there's no room for other things, right? Full of faith. So what does it mean to be full of faith? Well, I really just stopped and started thinking about it. You know, Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I started thinking, I said, well, what, in a very practical sense in my life, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean when we speak about faith? Well, number one, believing who God is. Believing who God is. Believing the person of God. And we won't take time this morning to go through all the attributes and the nature of God, but I'll tell you what. You go back to the book of Genesis, you know what the first way that God portrays himself and describes himself to Abraham is? I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. But not only is it believing who God is, and to be full of faith is to believe who God is without doubt. By the way, you say, how do I strengthen? How do I increase my faith? Just by reading the Word of God. You read the Word of God, and then your faith will be increased, and then you'll see the presence and the power of God, the person of God in your life. But not only believing who God is, but second of all, believing what God says is true. Believing what God says. We say that we live by faith. We say that we believe who God is. We say that we believe what God says. But many times we're not full of faith. Many times doubts arise. That's when we need to get back in the book. So that we're full of faith. So that we believe God is almighty. That he is all powerful. That he is all that he says he is. And that we believe what he says. But there's a third thing. Not only believing who God is, not only believing what God says, but putting one and one together to make two. Believing that God will do exactly what he says because he is who he is. Sometimes we take and we look at the person of God, and then we look at what God says, but somehow our faith is not full, and we don't put one and one together. God is who he is. He is almighty. He is holy. He's God. And God's word is true. And let me tell you something this morning. God does exactly what he says he does and will do in his word because he is God. And so full of faith, oh, that I would be full of faith. Because when we're full of faith, that fullness of faith means that I trust God today for everything, in everything. You know, when you look at the life of Barnabas, you see it. You see it in the life of Barnabas. There's not a lot written about the life of Barnabas. Let me give you two examples. Go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Boy, you see the difference in the testimonies of two different individuals. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, right there in Acts chapter 4, without going into all the details, they would take what they had, and they would sell it, and they would give it to help one another. And you know what? Barnabas, he was full of faith. He trusted the Lord. He says, you know what? I don't have to worry about it. I can sell it. I can give it. And God's going to take care of me. Right? I mean, in basic terms, that's what he was saying.
You read Acts chapter 5, totally different story. We won't go there this morning, but Acts chapter 5, you had another couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They were totally opposite. So they had a piece of land, they sold it, and then they lied to the Holy Spirit and only gave part of it, and that didn't work out too well for them. But he was full of faith. But let me give you another example. Go to Acts chapter 9. This one is amazing. Can you imagine the scenario as this takes place? All right? In Acts chapter 9, Saul has been just going around persecuting the church, persecuting the Christians. He is known by everybody, feared by everybody. He's terrorizing the church. And then Saul gets saved. Nice thing that happens. Wonderful thing that happens. Glorious thing that happens, right? Exceeding grace of God. Saul gets saved. Just a little problem here. Saul all of a sudden wants to come to church. He wants to get together with disciples. Well, of course he does. He gets saved, right? The Bible says you get saved, you love the brethren. The Bible says the brethren should love you back. You got a problem here, though. This is Saul. Saul, do you know who Saul is? You know what Saul's been doing? Pastor, do you know who this guy really is? You sure we want him to come in? I mean, he's just been murdering, killing, persecuting the church. Look down at verse number 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Saul comes to Jerusalem. He says, hey, guys, I got saved. Let's have feast and fellowship. I want to just be with the brethren. Look at the rest of them. Not so quick, Saul. They were all afraid of him. Natural response. And believed not that he was the disciple. They said, no, not so quick. Could be more to this. You know, it's you sure he's saved? Maybe he's just coming in to get the names of everybody else. I remember that a night a man came into Citywide. He wanted to help out. He wanted to serve. Wanted to be a blessing. He says, I'll hold the offering plate while you preach. I said, no. We put that under the pulpit here in New London. We put it right here. When we collected the offering, we put it right here. That was the safest spot for it. So imagine Saul comes in. And he says, I want to join with the disciples. The disciples, I don't know. Let's wait. Oh, no. We don't believe he's saved. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out. You know what? Barnabas says, no, I believe God. Barnabas was full of faith. I believe the power of God, that it's able to save. I believe the man's testimony. I believe it. That took faith, folks. That took faith. So Barnabas was full of faith. Barnabas was also full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, that phrase Holy Ghost speaks about the indwelling Spirit of God. When you read Holy Ghost, it's speaking about the Holy Spirit, but the emphasis is on that the Holy Spirit is indwelling a believer. And the Holy Ghost. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. We could take time, and if you just turn rapidly to chapter 13. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets, in verse number 1, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted,
the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here in Acts chapter 13, it's all about the Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Spirit working in the church, in the lives of people, for God to use them in such a way. But let me just bring your attention to verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And there's two things about that. The Holy Ghost said, there's a work that needs to be done, and I have purposed that Barnabas and Saul are going to be used. They're going to be the ones that are going to do this work. But that word separate, the word separate means to separate from and separate unto. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me. And it was not only that the Holy Ghost was saying, we're going to separate them from the church here and use them over here. But more importantly, the Holy Ghost was, separate unto me. And boy, there's a message in that, folks. That we need to be separated unto the Holy Ghost in us. We need to be separated unto God, separated unto the Holy Spirit, separated unto the Lord. He's called us from sin. He's called us out of this world. He's called us to be separate unto Him. And so we see, number one, we see the tidings that when the tidings came and there was a need, Barnabas was ready and Barnabas responded. We see the testimony that he was full of faith. That he was a profitable vessel that God could use. But he was a powerful vessel. And the power of his life was simply this, that he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say anything about his credentials. Doesn't say anything about his academic level. It says he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Every one of us can be that, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, where do I start? I'll tell you where you start. You start with this right here, just reading this, called the Bible, praying, and then you just start with this. Take one step of obedience. Take another step of obedience. Just one foot after another. Just one step at a time. Say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, Lord. And I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm just going to take one step today. Lord, I know this is the right step. I know this is the right step. I know this is the right step. And you live a life. But now go down to verse number 25. Because right there in verse number 25, it's powerful as well. What a powerful testimony this had. In verse 25, down through verse number 26, then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And here we see the teaching of Barnabas. Says in verse 25, he went, he got Saul, and he found him, and he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people. There's two things I want us to see here. First of all, they taught. You know, sometimes when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we expect that all of a sudden they're going to know everything about the Christian life. The Bible says they're, when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're like a little baby that needs to be taught. And that's why he exhorted them that they would purpose a heart, they would cleave to the Lord. And there needs to be teaching. But we know that. I'm going to move on from that for the sake of time. Because you know what? Barnabas not only taught with his words, he not only taught what the Lord Jesus Christ taught them to teach. Because the Bible says, go ye into all the world and teach, make disciples.
not only baptizing, but teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. But he taught by his life in verse number 25 and verse number 26. He taught by his life. Because you know what he did? When more people got saved and more people got added to the Lord, he could have verily just stood there and stopped there and said, hey, gather around me, and brought all the attention to himself. You know what you see in verse number 25? You see a man that was more concerned with the Lord and the glory of God and the work of God and the souls of others than he was about himself. Because you know what he does? He goes and he seeks Saul. And from this point on, Barnabas goes into obscurity and Paul rises to notoriety. Think about that. You know why? Because he says, it's not about me. It's not about me. You read down through and you read from, and we won't turn there, but you read chapter 13 and starts off with the Holy Ghost saying, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work on which I've called them. Now they go to the Gentiles. And when you read in Acts chapter 13, you read the order of names, it's Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is getting the attention. But then pretty soon with Sergius, Paul is mentioned as preaching. And then pretty soon it shifts, and no longer is it Barnabas and Saul, but now it's Paul and Barnabas. Well, you know how many times that has caused problems in people's lives? And you know why it can cause a problem? Because we can think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And that wasn't the case with Barnabas. Barnabas, once again, he says, we got a problem. We got more people. And he says, it's not about me. It's not about my name. It's not about my. It's not about attention coming to me. It's not about that it would be my name in lights. It's about the souls of these people, the lives of these people, and their relationship with the Lord. And he is to increase. I'm to decrease. I am nothing. He is everything. And therefore, it's not about me. I need to go get Saul. And he brings Saul. And you know what we see? We see the attention to Barnabas fading away. And God using Paul. But you know, here's the thing. Here's the neat thing by way of conclusion. Number one, the tidings come and Saul's a vessel. I mean, Barnabas is a vessel that God can use. He's ready. He responds. We see the testimony. He's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. And we see the teaching, not only of his words, but his life. That it's all about Christ. And what did Paul say? For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But here's the amazing thing. Back in Acts chapter 4, go back to Acts chapter 4 for a moment. This is amazing how, because the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Right? God puts down the proud, and God exalts the humble, so that God gets the glory. Here's the neat thing. This is fascinating. Because in Acts chapter 4, look at verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. So the apostles give him another name. They said, we recognize him as Barnabas. And that was his name by which he was recognized, which means the son of consolation, or someone who is called to help, to be a comfort, to be an encouragement, a helper. And he was. I was going to say that's all he was. No, that's all he was. He was a helper that God used mightily. But you know what the name Joseph means? You know what that word means? It means exalted. It means exalted. You know who exalted Barnabas? God did. God did. God says, you know what? This man Barnabas doesn't want any exaltation. He just wants to be used of God. God says, you know what? I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to record the testimony of this man's life in my book so that in 2020, others can read of how this man, a man that was simply full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, a man that was ready to be used and responded when God wanted to use him, a man that would say, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. It's not about my name or my recognition, it's all about you. And God says, I'll exalt him. I'll give testimony to how I could use this man that was a vessel that was fit for my use. Boy, it reminds us of over in Philippians chapter 2, doesn't it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in likeness as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And God hath given him a name above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every tongue, every knee should bow and every tongue confess, whether in heaven above or earth beneath, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so you say this morning, and I say this morning, I don't need to seek to be like a Paul. All I need to do is say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to walk with you. I want to live for you. I want you to be able to use me however, wherever, whenever. Lord, this is my life. I yield it to you. You use me so that you get the glory. And God will use you. He'll use us. He'll use us to impact the lives of others. And truly, that's what we want. That's what our desire should be, is just to be used of God to have an impact on the life of others so that God gets the glory. Everybody can be a Barnabas. Let's pray.